Loss aversion in the news. Why uncertainty makes us crave catastrophe. A few years ago, during one of those genuinely uncertain stretches we've all lived through lately, I caught myself doing something slightly ridiculous. It was late, everyone in the house was asleep, and I was lying in bed refreshing the news. Not because anything had happened, not because there was anything I could do at midnight in Antwerp about the state of the world. I was just refreshing, scanning for the next bad thing, and here's the part that actually bothered me the next morning. It hadn't made me feel better. It had made me feel worse, and I'd known the whole time that it would. Why on earth do we do that? I think the best answer I've ever found comes from two psychologists whose work I genuinely love and whose ideas sit right at the heart of why I built Positron. So let me tell you about Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky and a beautiful, slightly unsettling idea called prospect theory, the most important graph you've never seen. In 1979, Kahneman and Tversky published a paper in the economics journal Econometrica called Prospect Theory, an Analysis of Decision Under Risk. It went on to become one of the most cited papers in all of social science, and it eventually won Kahneman a Nobel Prize in economics, which is quite something for a psychologist who, by his own cheerful admission, never took a single economics course. The core of it can be drawn as a single curve, and it's the image at the top of this article. Up until then, economists had mostly assumed we treat gains and losses symmetrically, that finding 50 euros and losing 50 euros are simply mirror images, equal and opposite. Kahneman and Tversky showed, experiment after experiment, that this is just not how humans actually work. Look at the curve. The bottom half, the losses, is much steeper than the top half. That steepness is the whole point. It means a loss of a given size feels substantially bigger than a gain of exactly the same size. The pain of losing 50 euros is sharper than the pleasure of winning it. Most estimates put the difference at somewhere around twice as strong. We are, in the jargon, loss averse, overvaluing costs, undervaluing benefits. Now, here's where it connects to something you already sensed. Kahneman and Tversky also showed that we tend to overweight small probabilities of dramatic events. A tiny chance of a catastrophe looms far larger in the mind than its actual likelihood warrants. Put loss aversion and this quirk together, and you get a very particular kind of animal, one that systematically overvalues potential costs and undervalues potential benefits, especially when things feel uncertain. Which, if you think about it, is a near perfect description of how it feels to be alive right now. And it's also, and this is the bit I find fascinating, a near perfect description of the market the news industry is serving. If our minds are wired to treat threats as bigger, closer, and more urgent than opportunities of the same size, then a headline about something going wrong is simply better tuned to the human brain than a headline about something going right. It's not that editors are villains, it's that a threat-shaped story fits a threat-shaped mind like a key in a lock. Bad news sells isn't a cynical newsroom slogan. It's loss aversion, dressed up as a business model. But surely people say they want good news. Here's the objection I hear all the time, and it's a fair one. If bad news is so unpleasant, why don't people just choose the good stuff? Ask almost anyone, and they'll tell you they're sick of the doom and gloom, that they'd love more positive news. I hear it constantly. I felt it myself, refreshing that phone at midnight. The trouble is that what we say and what we do turn out to be two very different things. There's a clever study by Mark Trussler and Stuart Soroka from 2014 that gets right at this. They brought people into a lab under the cover story that they were testing eye tracking equipment and simply let them pick news stories to read while they waited. People reliably gravitated toward the negative stories. Even the ones who had told the researchers moments earlier on a survey that they preferred positive news and thought the media was too negative. What we click and what we claim are not the same. The polite survey answer is, I want good news. The revealed preference, measured by actual behavior, leans the other way. And this is not just a quirk of one lab in one country. In 2019, Soroka, together with Patrick Fournier and Lee Lechner, ran a remarkable study across 17 countries on 6 continents. They wired people up, measuring skin conductance and heart rate, the body's honest little tells, and showed them real news clips. On average, all around the world, people were more physiologically aroused by negative news than by positive news. Different cultures, different languages, different media systems, same basic bodily response. The pull toward the negative isn't a Western media disease. It looks like part of the human operating system, the trap and the way out. So put the whole picture together. We overweight losses. We overweight small chances of catastrophe. We physically react more to bad news than good. And so, without anyone needing to conspire, we build a media ecosystem that feeds us exactly what our anxious wiring reaches for. And then we lie in bed at midnight, refreshing, feeling worse, and doing it anyway. That sounds bleak, but I actually think there's something quietly liberating in understanding it. Because once you know that the pull is automatic, once you can name it as loss aversion rather than as a true and balanced picture of the world, you can start to treat it as something to be managed rather than obeyed. The midnight refresh isn't news gathering. It's a reflex, and reflexes can be interrupted. That's really all positron is when you get down to it. It's a small, deliberate interruption, a way of choosing on purpose to let some good news through the filter that your own psychology and the entire attention economy built on top of it is quietly tuned to block. Not to pretend the losses aren't real, just to stop letting them be the only thing you ever see. Kahneman, sadly, is no longer with us, and Tversky died back in 1996, but I think they'd appreciate the irony of it. Understanding exactly how our minds tilt toward the negative is the first real step to gently tilting back. In the next article, I want to look at what happened when this very human wiring met the machines, because social media algorithms didn't invent our negativity bias, but they may just have poured rocket fuel on it. Cheers, Rick.